This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. It's time for our weekly political discussion. Here for the conversation are Rob Schofield, director of the Progressive NC Policy Watch, and Becky Gray, senior vice president at the conservative John Locke Foundation. Hey there.
Hey there.
Hi, Jeff.
Following a year and a half hiatus stemming from a spat over who should have appointment power to seat the State Board of Elections, we have a State Board of Elections. With an election underway, as well as a number of candidates having their residency challenged, this nine-member board has work to do. Now, on Wednesday, the first eight members of the board collectively chose two names for the ninth seat and then sent those selections on to the governor. Roy Cooper selected Damon Sercosta, executive director of the A.J. Fletcher Foundation, which is a major supporter of Democratic causes. Cooper chose him over former state Supreme Court Chief Justice Burley Mitchell, a moderate Democrat. Becky, some on the right have quickly criticized, saying this was a missed opportunity to seat a centrist. What do you say?
Well, the way the system was set up, and this was an agreement, again, after a year and a half, lawsuits, a lot of discussion at the General Assembly, a lot of back and forth with the governor's office, this is the system that they set up. Really, the key position is this independent, this ninth vote. During the discussion this week on the board, we had vote after vote that was tied between Republicans and Democrats. Decisions about elections are probably the most partisan thing that that any of these boards or commissions does. This will control when early voting starts. I mean, all kinds of things associated with the elections. You know, the hope was and the intent of the General Assembly was to ensure that that ninth member was truly independent. There is some question because of Damon Sercosta's background, his position at the Fletcher Foundation, which is a left, certainly I think we could all agree it's a left of center group, of whether or not he can be impartial and whether or not he will rule with the Democrats, giving the Democrats control. That's what we're hearing from the Republicans on the commission and the state party and others associated with the Republican Party. I think we need to, as you said, a year and a half hiatus. Elections are underway. We need to step back and let this commission do their work.
Damon Sercosta is, from all my experience, a progressive but also a nonpartisan. He once headed the Center for Voter Education, which was a bipartisan pro-good government group. I should say the Fletcher Foundation is a funder of the Justice Center, of which I'm Policy Watch is a part. But Damon's always been sort of a good government guy first, has been my experience. But I will say I think this is a dumb way to pick our Board of Elections. I almost expected that the members had to, like, put their heads down and hold up their hands. I mean, there was talk of drawing names out of a hat. It was a weird process, and I think it bespeaks the fact that this whole change that's been effected at the Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement was a mistake. I still think that this is an executive function that ought to be the governor's to deal with in the first place. I think that's why the governor continues to pursue litigation and is hopeful that this current model will ultimately be declared unconstitutional. But, you know, it is what we've got right now, and I think there's a lot, we all agree, there's a lot of work for them to do, and, you know, there's a lot of good people on there from both sides, and hopefully they'll do their job.
Moving on, data company Cambridge Analytica stands accused of taking information from about 50 million Facebook users without their consent and using it to help the Trump and Tom Tillis campaigns, among others. Cambridge does micro-targeting, aggregating large swaths of data with one goal of driving up turnout and influencing election outcomes. This is legal, and there is no evidence to date that Senator Tillis knew the information was stolen. However, Tillis did spend $30,000 with the firm during the campaign and then shelled out a 333% victory bonus, $100,000. Now, operatives from both Democrat and Republican parties have told me this week that they've never heard of a bonus weighted so heavily on the back end. Rob, what's going on here?
Well, it's bad news for democracy, it sure seems to me. Here we've got a foreign firm with Russian ties basically manipulating our elections. It's something we've been hearing about really ever since Donald Trump was elected. Now we learn that there's even, you know, ties to a North Carolina senator that went back long before Donald Trump. And indeed, Congressman McHenry, I think, was also a patron of Cambridge Analytica. In fact, I think the Cambridge Analytica, at least earlier this week, had their website featured Tillis's picture on there is one of their success stories, been taken down. You know, there was a great editorial the other day by Hedrick Smith, who was the longtime bureau chief in Moscow and Washington for the New York Times, in which he said that President Trump is actually failing to live up to his oath of office by failing to protect our country from a foreign enemy. And I think this is another indication that that's the case. It's very troubling. I take Tillis at his word that he didn't know that maybe they had connections to Russia, but it's it's frightening and bad news, I think, for our democracy.
These companies do this all the time. You know, during the Obama administration and during the Obama elections, he was actually really praised and heralded for using technology in kind of this new way, this micro-targeting. And, of course, as technology continues to improve and advance, we see more and more of this. I mean, we all get those targeted ads on Facebook, whether we've been shopping for a new snow shovel or in political arena, too. Certainly during campaigns, we get that information. I think that to look into this and make sure that there is nothing nefarious that's been going on is absolutely the way to go with it. But this seems to me to be a lot of hoopla over not much.
Well, but it's one thing to get targeted with an ad. It's another thing to get targeted with fake news or manipulative pseudo facts that aren't even true about what's going on in politics and that are designed to provoke you to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do if you actually understood the truth. So, I mean, this is...
Well, this happens, Rob, you know, from both sides in political campaigns.
Well, and that's,
you know,
bad.
And there's, and
that's
there, terrible. But, you know, there's also a responsibility that we as voters have to look through that, to check sources, to take the responsibility to cast a responsible vote when we vote.
I would just say that I agree with everything you say there, but the reality is that if we're going to have giant corporations manipulating the news, spreading fake news to individuals in a way that's designed, and it's being driven by a foreign power with a intent to alter our election outcomes, I think that's something we got to take very seriously.
Well, and you know, and it happens on both sides, so I agree
absolutely
with you.
Absolutely. If it does,
but the ultimate responsibility rests with us as individuals.
Well, but politicians ought not to be hiring companies that have these kinds of connections to foreign governments, so that's something we'll hope is not going to happen anymore either.
But it is information, and you want the best information to give yourself the best chance to win. That's the concern here, right? There's the hypocrisy. I mean, we can say walk away from it as a candidate, but if there's a trove of data in front of you and you think it might help you by a percentage point or two, it's hard to not go and take that from, even if from an ethical standpoint, whatever.
Yeah, it's hard, but I also think they have a patriotic duty not to be, undermining the country and the Constitution of the United States and working with foreign governments. And I'm sorry if it's hard to turn that down, but they need to do it.
Well, we live in a global economy, and you know that is going to become more the norm than less the norm. I think absolutely you need to look at contracts, you need to vet who you do business with, whether you're a candidate or whether you're a business person. That's important. But again, I think the ultimate responsibility comes down to us.
Finally, a group of Democrats rolled out a series of firearms proposals at the legislature, and they looked very similar to what the governor has called for and what we talked about here last week, raising the age to buy an assault rifle, expanded background checks, banning bump stocks, and providing more money for school resource officers. Democrats said this is not a partisan issue, yet the absence of any Republican at their press conference seemed glaring to some. If this was really about policy and not just scoring political points, isn't this a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think it's too bad that we don't have leadership from both parties on this issue. This is an existential matter for our country and certainly for the safety of our students and for just our citizens generally. This issue goes a lot further than just school safety. So we need both parties to stand up. I think these are policies, really, they're not dissimilar from what's been passed with bipartisan support in Florida. So to me, these ought to be no-brainers for both parties. Clearly, we need to raise the age to 21 for buying these weapons and taking the bump stocks away. And I mean, these ought to be just no-brainers. So yes, I think it's a missed opportunity that the Republicans didn't join in.
Well, I think it's important to note that although there weren't Republicans at the Democrat press conference, at the committee that has been assigned by Speaker Tim Moore and drawn up by Tim Moore also met this week. And they did have bipartisan support, bipartisan discussion, bringing in experts, getting a lot of different ideas on the line. They had a student from a high school in Johnston County. They had a teacher come in. They also had experts across the board to begin to look at these options of things that we want to look at. And all of the things that were mentioned in the Democrat press conference, I understand, are also on the table as this committee goes forward. So I think it's important to focus on where all of the conversation is, not just one press conference. And clearly, this is a bipartisan issue. And from my perspective, what I'm seeing is there is bipartisan efforts to find some solutions to this.
Becky Graves with the John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield writes for NC Policy Watch. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Jeff. You
Thanks,
too.
Jeff.